Good morning, sisters and brothers in Christ. The morning scripture will be coming from Matthew's, the 8th chapter. And that's Matthew's, the 8th chapter, 23rd to the 26th verse. And it reads as such. And when he was entered into his ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoken him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful and of little faith? And then he arose and rebuked the sea, the winds and the seas, and there was a great calm. May the Lord have a blessing to his word.
Church, amen. Amen. Good morning. Good to see those of you who are here. Always good to see visitors. We're thankful for your presence. And if this is your first time here, we welcome you. We're certainly excited that you have chosen to be with us. Anything we can do to help and assist you, we certainly would love to do that, especially as it pertains to your soul salvation. This morning, our text will come from Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. O ye of little faith. That's an expression that is applied on several occasions to the disciples by our Lord. You recall the time when they were in the midst of the storm, and Jesus rebuked the wind and the sea in Matthew 8 and verse number 26. And Jesus then said to them, O ye of little faith. Then you remember when Peter began to sink. He first walked on the water to Jesus, but finding out that he was in a serious situation, he began to doubt, and as a result of that, began to sink. Matthew chapter 14, verse number 31. And then when they had forgotten to bring bread, and in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 8, when it was time to feed the 5,000, or rather Jesus reminded them of the feeding of the 5,000 and 4,000 because he was speaking to them regarding the leaven of the Pharisees. And they thought Jesus was chiding them about not bringing any bread. Jesus had to remind them, do you not remember the 5,000 and the 4,000? Why ye have no faith? O ye of little faith. In each of these instances, their faith had to be reproved. Jesus reproved them on these occasions because he knew what was coming. And he knew that the challenges that would be met by these men, and he understood that what they were going to need was faith. And he was trying all the time that they were with him throughout his personal ministry. He was trying to bring forth their faith, to bring out their faith, to increase their faith, to literally strengthen their faith. Jesus knew they would need it because he knew what was lying ahead for these men. He also knows what lies ahead for us. And he understands that one of the things that we're going to need, the greatest thing that we'll need, is our faith. So where are you this morning with your faith? Could it be said of us, or would Jesus say to us, O ye of little faith? Well, there may be times in our lives where we might say that Jesus probably would have said to me, O ye of little faith, because of the way I handle certain situations or because of the way I am falling under the weight of a certain circumstance. Jesus might would say to me, O ye of little faith. So I want to look at an instance where Jesus might have to say that to us. One of those instances is in an instance of private danger. That's what we find in Matthew chapter 14. Jesus might would say to us in that instance, O ye of little faith. Look with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 14. And notice verse number 31 to begin with, Jesus' words to Peter. How does it read, verse number 31, Brother Craig?
And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith. Wherefore didst thou doubt?
Now, Jesus' words to Peter is, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, doubt is the Greek word distazo, and it means to duplicate, means to waver in opinion.
It means that he wavered or he was fluctuating. And they were afraid because as they were sitting there in that boat, they were troubled concerning something that was coming toward them. They didn't know what it was. They thought it was a spirit. They weren't sure about the appearance of this particular thing. They just noticed something was moving toward them on the water, and it caused them to be afraid. Look at verse number 26, chapter 14 and verse number 26. They were troubled, and what did they say?
It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear.
Well, I imagine that would have been a very frightful thing. You don't know what it is coming towards you, but you see something approaching you on the water in the middle of the night, and you begin to cry out for fear. What is that coming toward us? And they began to be afraid. They began to cry out for fear. But notice verse 27.
But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is
Hold it right there. Now, they were made aware of what it was that was coming toward them. Jesus then settles them and lets them know that it is I. Now, notice as you read on.
Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid.
Now, who was the I? Obviously, when you think about it, those men were fearful of what was approaching them. And now Jesus says, it is I. That means it's Jesus. That means it's the Lord. That means it's your master. Now, when you think about it, they were fearful and afraid because they don't know what's approaching them. And now upon finding out, it's the Lord, it's your master, it's Jesus, the one who would never do you any harm. And so immediately he settles them, telling them, you don't need to be afraid because it's me. It's your Lord, it's your master, it's Christ. I won't do you any harm. So you're in good, you're good. Don't be afraid, no need to fear. In other words, be encouraged, because now I know who it is. So notice Peter's request in verse number 28 and verse number 29.
And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.
Would you have done that? We probably wouldn't have done that. If he's still a little bit uncertain as to who it is, but obviously he believes it to be the Lord because he makes this request. Lord, if it's you, if it's truly you, then bid me to come out. Why? Because if it is our Lord and Master, would Jesus deny him anything? Would Jesus deny him to come out to him? Not at all. And so he says, Lord, if it's you, he said, bid me that I might what?
Come unto thee on the water.
Keep reading.
And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus.
Peter requested to come to Jesus if it was really him, and was granted permission. Peter walked on water. Now, question. Could Peter walk on water? Had Peter ever tried this before? Is this something that Peter would say to his disciples, to the rest of his disciples, say, y'all, wait a minute, I'm gonna just go walk on the water and go over there. Is that something Peter would do? So Peter had never walked on water before. Peter cannot walk on water, but yet we find Peter walking on water. Now, how is it that Peter is able to walk on that water? Well, Peter's able to walk on the water not by his own power. See, Jesus is out there walking on the water by his own power. Peter then requests to come walk on the water, but the only reason Peter can walk on that water is because he was granted permission. It is the power of Jesus Christ and the permission granted unto Peter that enabled him to walk on that water. The reason we know it's the permission is because Jesus always had the power to walk on water.
Yes, sir.
Jesus always had the power to allow Peter or anyone else to walk on the water with him if he desired. But on this occasion, Peter gets the permission granted to him by Jesus to come and walk on that water. Which Peter finds himself in a peculiar situation. He finds himself in immediate danger as he begins to walk on that water and go to Jesus Christ. Notice the danger of Peter's situation in verse number 30.
He was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying,
Peter began to look at everything around him. And what was going on with the winds? The winds were boisterous. Iskouros were the winds. In other words, they were mighty. They were forcible. And that means they were powerful. They were strong and they were valiant. And notice back to verse number, go back to verse number 24 and notice what else was going on.
When the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed the waves, for the wind was contrary.
The winds were contrary, but the Bible says the waves were tossing that boat. So the waves were boisterous. The winds were boisterous. In other words, my friends, what you have was the violence of the winds, and you have the raging of the waves. And Peter's faith failed because he saw these things and thought that he was in imminent danger. But what Peter needed to learn is the same lesson that you and I have to learn. He'll have to learn that what really exposed him to danger was not the waves of the sea or the strong, violent winds. I mean, those winds must have been hurricane-like. And the waves were beating up the ship so that these fishermen, these great men who had fished, and they were very good at what they did, and yet they thought that they were in danger of being destroyed. But the danger wasn't the winds, and the danger wasn't the sea, and Peter would have to learn that lesson. What was the dangerous, what was dangerous to Peter? What put him in this situation? It was his faith. The failing of Peter's faith is what caused the dangerous situation. When he had his faith, he was daring enough to get out of the boat and walk on the water. You see, that's when he had his faith. He calls out to the Lord and he says, if it's you, he said, bid me that I come out on the water to you. I mean, think about it. Who would think to go out there and walk on the water? I don't care who's out there. But Peter thought with his faith, if it's Jesus, I can walk on that water and go out there to Jesus. And Jesus said, come. And that man was daring enough to get out of that water and walk. That's when he had his faith. When he had his faith, he was walking on the water, and the power of Jesus Christ suspended the gravity so that he did not sink. When he had his faith, he wasn't afraid. So what placed Peter in danger was his lack of faith. It is the same thing that places us all in danger as people of faith. Ultimately, it gets down to you. It gets down to me. Many disciples was there, but only Peter was the one walking on water. And it is not the immediate circumstances that places us in grave danger. It is our lack of faith that will put us in danger, just like Peter. It's why Jesus' statement to the disciples makes sense in Matthew 10, 28, when he says to those disciples, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. How could Jesus say that? Because Jesus understands that it's about faith. He understood that. He understands that. And we have to understand that it's always about faith. My friends, you can't put me in danger more so than my faith can put me in danger. Yes, it's when my faith failed, that's when I'm in the most danger. Because what Luke says in his account is that don't fear men to kill the body. And after they kill the body, they have no more they can do. He says, don't fear them, but rather fear God, who can do so much more to you even after you depart from this life. When Paul was standing before Felix, he was in imminent danger, immediate danger. His life was on the line. But Paul wasn't the one trembling. Acts 24 and verse number 25, and as he reasoned with him of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, the Bible says Felix trembled and said, go thy way. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for you. Paul may have been in immediate danger physically because Rome had the power to put him to death, but Paul wasn't the one trembling on that occasion. Paul's faith is what mattered on that occasion. It wasn't about what Felix could do to Paul that bothered Paul. It was about what God could do to Felix and what God would do to Felix. For Paul, he showed great faith in that particular instance. It's our lack of faith, my friends, that places us in far more danger than anything man can do to us physically. It's our lack of faith that places us in danger and with the challenges that we must face. It's our lack of faith that places us in more danger than any storm, any circumstance, or any situation. The Lord asked Peter, why did you doubt? Why did you fluctuate between faith and fear, between doubt and fear? When you think about the story, there was no reason for Peter to doubt. Why? Because he had identified who Jesus was.
Yes, sir.
He said, Lord, if it is you, he said, bid me that I come out on the water with you. Jesus said, come. Now, if he wasn't sure that it was Jesus, when he gets out of that boat and begins to walk on water, he ought to know who it is now. Mm-hmm. And we know he identified who Jesus was because when he began to sink, he reached up and said, Lord, save me. And the Lord was able to reach up and save him. The thing that you and I have to remember in this situation is that once we discover Jesus in our life and we truly know who he is, and we know that he is the Christ, we know that he is the Savior, we know that he is the Master, we know that he is the Lord of Lords, then, my friends, there is no reason for us to doubt. There is no reason for us to waver. There's no reason for us to be fearful and afraid, lest Jesus would say to us, O ye of little faith. Have you discovered Jesus this morning? You see, if you're here and you're not a member of the Lord's church and you've never obeyed the gospel, it's time you come to faith. Come to faith in the one who has brought you with his price, with the blood that he shed on the cross. You can come to faith in him. You can come to faith this very day. I know y'all looking at me saying, you done already? I am. I am. You can come to faith in him. But you have to believe in him. You have to believe that he is God. You see, they were coming to faith, and that faith was being increased. But on this particular occasion, they lost the faith. And as a result, they were put in danger. You see, our faith is what keeps us safe. Amen. The moment we lose that, my friends, then we're in truly danger. No circumstance, no situation, no troubling situation in your life, nothing can put us in more danger than a lack of faith. Amen. So if you're here and you want to be saved, you got to have faith in Jesus Christ. Believe that he is God's son. You got to repent of your sins. You got to be willing to confess him with the mouth and salvation. You got to be willing to die to the love and to the practice of those things. And you got to be buried with him in a watery grave, rise out of that grave, and to walk in the newness of life. Do the best you can. Mistakes will be made. You'll falter. You'll fall. You'll waver from time to time. But as you go, you just keep on trying to get better, increasing that faith. We invite you to do that this very morning. If you haven't done that, you can come to Jesus this morning and start your new life with him. And we invite you to do that right now. We stand and sing the invitation song.
Today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow.